Alrighty, my friend. You know I am obsessed with health and wellness hacks, right? Using my Plan to Recover journal, I have automated over 15 new vitality-boosting behaviors over the last 3 years, and none of them have been more transformational or effortless to implement than LifeWave's phototherapy patch. The X39 phototherapy patches promote healing by using your body's heat to activate stem cell regeneration. How awesome is that? These tiny patches are clinically proven to restore the body to a level of health that you may not have seen in years. These patches are a result of 80 studies and over 20 years of research. X39 patches are wearable technology, easy to apply to clean skin as part of your AM routine or your PM routine. Personally, I have experienced a more youthful complexion, mobility, and energy levels that I haven't seen, honestly, in over a decade. My arthritic pain and stiffness decreased dramatically in less than 48 hours. Absolutely life-changing. Additional health benefits may include better sleep, shorter recovery times, pain relief, improved energy and vitality, reduced inflammation, and much, much more. If you want to learn more about LifeWave's X39 patches and the many other therapy patches they offer, check out our episode with Darlene Green and IamReverseAging.com. To learn more about my personal experience, check out our YouTube channel, Direct Impact Podcast. Now, don't forget, head to LifeWave.com/AndreaEpting. That's LifeWave.com/AndreaEpting to buy your patches today and support this podcast. Welcome to Direct Impact, where we discuss the various ways our mental health and quality of life intersect. I'm your host, Andrea Epting, licensed professional counselor, master's addictions counselor, and certified sex therapist. Think of our time together as focused self-reflection mixed with insight, passion, and empowerment. Now, take a deep breath. Now let's dive in and see what impacts you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is your host, Andrea Epting, and you are listening to the Direct Impact Podcast, Candid Conversation with Mary and Andrea. So welcome. Thanks for being with us today. We are going to riff off each other a little bit. We had a solo episode with regards to I'm not crazy, you're crazy, all about gaslighting, and Mary's going to ask me some follow-up questions with regards to crazy making. And, you know, we talked about the harm done, but tell me what your thoughts are.
So, like, when you were doing that recording of, like, talking about crazy making, I thought it was a really great introduction to, you know, understanding what gaslighting is. So the couple of questions that I had that came up were, one, where does the term gaslight even come from? And what is a good example of gaslighting? Because I think we, like when we talked about after recording, like we joke about it, and pop psychology likes to give a simple definition, but I think it'd be great for our viewers to understand, like, this is kind of what you should look for with gaslighting.
Yeah. So I'll start with your first question, which is, like, historically speaking, where does this term gaslighting come from? And it comes from a movie, a black and white movie from, I believe, the 1940s. We will add a slide to this to show you guys if you're watching on YouTube. And in this film, the lead male is using a gas light to create crazy making for their partner. And by trying to convince his partner by utilizing this gaslight that she's crazy, that she doesn't really see that, she doesn't really feel that, that she's losing her mind and she's starting to slip and all of that, he was using that as a way to manipulate to get his needs met. And I think it had something to do with, like, getting her money or something like that. I can't really remember, but the movie Gaslight from, I think, the 40s is where the term, I do know that's where the term originated, from gaslight to gaslighting. And it was because of the way that he used an object, a gaslight, to create crazy making within this person. And there is one scene when I believe they're like at an auction house or something, but they're sitting side by side, and you can see the intense effect on this woman. He does something very subtle. Mm-hmm. And because of all of the gaslighting that had been going on and all of the crazy making and all the manipulation, her reaction, it really, it makes her believe I am crazy, you know, and it's just such a great scene for all of my betrayed partners out there, because it's like, that's it. That's what happens. That is why it's so toxic. It is so abusive. It is so wrong. I know that it is the result of someone's dis-ease or disease of addiction or narcissistic personality, but it has such a tremendous impact to the point where someone really can believe that they are losing their mind,
right,
and behaving as though mm-hmm. they're losing their mind. And so, like, historically speaking, that is where the term comes from. Yeah. And nowadays, it's become a little bit more of a popular term and misused all over the place. Just all over the place, misused. I don't like what you're saying to me. You made me feel, you must be gaslighting me.
Right.
And so, like, no, when people have actions, behaviors, or words that elicit emotion in you, that does not mean they're gaslighting you. However, I think you do start to notice when you're being gaslit because you feel like you're taking crazy pills. You start to question yourself. Mm-hmm. Anytime you start questioning yourself, your motives, your intention, your reality, you're being gaslit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because to me too, like when I think of what we think of gaslighting, you know, now, like I think of might be like a clarifying question, like, did you mean this or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes it gets taken out of proportion where it's like, no, you're just making me feel blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, I'm maybe confused or something, right. You know? So
this is actually an attempt to get on the same page. I'm not trying to manipulate you. Yeah.
Like what? Because I also think in my mind, like when I hear the way you explain it, I think of these big actions, but I hear they can be really small things that become bigger. Mm-hmm. So what would that, again, like look like?
Yeah. And I would actually go as far as to say, they put more effort into it. The addicted individual puts more effort into it at first, but once it's ingrained in their partner and they don't trust themselves, they put very little effort into it, right? They don't have to put as much effort into the gaslighting, crazy making process, because there's some brainwashing that goes on here. Okay. And I talk to my partners a lot, my betrayed partners, people who have experienced intimacy betrayal. I have a group that I facilitate, two groups, a task group and a process group. And we talk a lot about the similarities between intimacy betrayal, betrayal trauma, and Stockholm syndrome. And really looking at brainwashing techniques. The difference is brainwashing techniques are very conscious and very deliberate. In addiction, it's not conscious or deliberate. Mm-hmm. It's what addiction does,
right.
You know?
Yes, I think like, you know, the cycle of abuse mm-hmm. you know, anybody could go through is, you know, there's probably a period of calm. And then all of a sudden there's a spike of chaos. And I could see where that would make somebody feel like, okay, am I losing it? Like, mm-hmm. I thought we were fine. And then here we are, like, again, in the chaos. Is it my fault? You know, I could start seeing that questioning of, oh, I guess it's a me problem that I can't keep the peace or whatever it is.
Well, you start to question that. But then when someone then says, yes, it is you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, because, like, oftentimes the active addict is telling you, I'm doing this because of you. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are telling. It's not like something you assume.
Right.
You're being told. Like, if you did this or that for me, I wouldn't be hurting you. That's gaslighting.
Right.
It's your fault that I hurt you is gaslighting. You know, like you are doing something to cause me to cause you harm. That's gaslighting.
You talk a little bit more like that, like with the repeated trauma, because I've had this conversation with maybe a couple clients that, you know, they were talking about how it feels like PTSD, but they've never been to war or anything like that. But having to explain to somebody like repeated gaslighting, repeated cycle of abuse does affect us to where we have complex PTSD or some form of that. Could you explain that a little more of how that works, you know, or how that affects us, the brain?
Yeah, I think it's important people understand complex PTSD and also understand that a lot of our soldiers returning from combat and tours and deployments, a lot of them had complex PTSD before having more specific traumas. But a lot like complex PTSD is something happening over and over and over and over again. A lot of my betrayed partners, this is not their first betrayal. And there is nothing really much more traumatic in this life than being betrayed by someone you depend on or trust. And so that type of complex PTSD is equal to, if not greater, than being close to death, almost killed, watching people around you die, which is horrific. And so is it horrific to be in a relationship with an addict.
How can we help clients, or how can somebody start building trust within themselves to be like, okay, I'm steadfast in my decision and I can maybe leave this relationship, or at least call out the gaslighting behavior of like, that's a you problem, not a me problem.
That's right. That's why we work on boundaries right off the bat. And I think that's part of it. And I mentioned it in the solo episode, but it's like really spending time coming back into yourself, setting the necessary boundaries, the physical boundaries up front that first create safety and secondly creates enough distance for you to prioritize your own healing. Because that's what's required for you to start to name things like that. So like first and foremost, you have to create an environment of healing so that you can identify those things. Otherwise, you're going to default right back into questioning yourself. And then you can start to identify like, okay, I'm going to enter into this relationship and or this conversation in an attempt to get my needs met. And if gaslighting starts, I'm going to be able to name it and walk away from it. You know, because that's one of the things is the partners I work with, they no longer feel safe having a need of their own. So to be able to come into a conversation with their partner, express a need, and that partner be able to receive that, accept that, respond to that, that's huge. But if the partner's not in recovery, they can't do that. So once they express it, the need's not being met and the gaslighting ensues, they then can walk away from it and name it. Say, nope, that's gaslighting. But they don't, I don't ask people to name the gaslighting. I ask them to name the addiction. That's your addiction talking. I'm going to go ahead and exit the conversation. I came to try to get a need met. Your addiction is not willing or ready. I'm going to exit. That's how you start to do that.
I appreciate like naming it, you know, like we call it name it to tame it. I think that's a great way to differentiate for the partners and even the addict themselves to say like, that part of me is talking. The other parts of me are quiet and they are trying to talk, but this one is really like the protector, protecting all of this other stuff that I don't want to really open up, like vulnerability or whatever that part is.
And the disease will try to, you know, insulate and isolate the person who has it from intimacy, connection, vulnerability, honesty, all of those things. And so that's why it's so important for the partner to be able to name the addiction. Like, okay, I might love you, but I absolutely hate and despise your addiction, and I don't have energy to communicate with your addiction, nor do I have a desire to. So I'm going to now set a boundary and say, I will enter into a conversation to try to get a need met. But if I am confronted or met with your addiction, I'm out. Don't have energy for that.
And I just want to say, like, it's easy for us, to talk about that because we know the steps. And I think a lot of people know the steps of what to do. Like, I like to call it, we know it in headspace, but the application, the feeling, the emotion is very scary. So to give, anybody out there who's going through this or something similar, just encouragement of it's a process. It's a one step at a time, a lot of practice, because you're not, we're not going to get it on the first try. It's going to be a lot of
It's
failures.
impossible to do
Right.
without a lot of, painstaking mistakes along the way, right? Like it is impossible because it is a new neural pathway that has zero exercise. And when you go to have a conversation with your partner who has been abusing you, their addiction has been abusing you for a period of time, you're going to be dysregulated, which means you're either going to have no thoughts because you're in freeze and you don't really know how to communicate your needs, wants, desires, feelings, or you're going to be in hyper arousal and you're just going to be blaming them for all of the pain that you have. And so it is hard to come to a place of safety where you're grounded to even have that conversation where you can set boundaries, notice and name an addiction. Like it takes time. And so thank you, Mary, for that. Like, yeah, 100%. Because my clients say all the time, like, well, I wish I could just say it like that. Well, I can't even say it like that if I'm like in, starting this and I'm coming up to my abuse and trying to stay grounded at the same time. Like, no,
I
it
know
takes time. It is a great opportunity to work on perfectionism because, like, it has to be messy. You cannot forge a new neural pathway without making a ton of mistakes, not doing it right. Be like, I tried to have that conversation. It turned into a fight. Yeah, do it 10 more times. At some point, it's not going to be a fight. Y'all will find the common enemy, which is the addiction, and it will be fine as long as you're both working your programs. I mean, like, it's okay.
You're
Do
right.
it, messy and be proud of that.
No, and that's what I like to give clients of any whatever we're working on. It's not perfection, it's progress. I tell them we're making micro steps, baby steps, and those steps lead to bigger strides. And so, like I said, anybody out there who's again going through a similar situation, going through a mental health journey, self-discovery, whatever it is, it's messy. But it's a good kind of messy and it's fun. It can be fun, even with hardships.
Well, you're learning so much. And I just say, great. I promise you, if you do not look at these things as failures, you're going to get all of the juicy information out of that experience. Like, so yes, do it messy. The messier, the more information, the more data you're getting. So, like, be willing to sit in that mess, collect the data, try again.
And going into like the hyper or hypo arousal, I think one of our upcoming episodes is on about that. So everybody check that out so you can learn more about, I guess we're going to be talking window of
Window
tolerance.
of tolerance, autonomic nervous system, yeah, hyperarousal, hypoarousal, and our, our makeup, like our design, because it's a little bit different for everybody. We have to respect ourselves. Yeah.
Well, thanks everybody. Thank
Yeah.
you.
Yeah, no, thank you, Mary. And thank you, audience. Thank you, everyone who's watching on YouTube. And thank you so much to our loyal listeners and our OGs. And please subscribe and make sure that you do not miss any of these episodes and share them with someone who really could benefit because that's what we're sitting here doing. Like our intention and our effort and our time is put in to this because we believe it'll change lives. And you're the ones who help us do that. So thank you so much. Bye.
Does anyone else feel like they just earned an extra brain wrinkle? Do you feel like that went by way too fast and just cannot wait till the next episode? Then leave a review and share this episode with a friend, a loved one, a coworker, or whomever, because your valued feedback makes a direct impact.
Thank you for dropping in. Snaps to you because you have made a direct impact by listening to this podcast. Make sure to follow us on social media and stay tuned every week for a new episode of Direct Impact with Andrea Epstein.
Here is our disclaimer and legal language. Yes, I'm a psychotherapist, but guess what? I'm not your psychotherapist, and I need to be clear that this podcast is solely for enhancement, education, and entertainment purposes only. It is in absolutely no way a replacement for professional counseling services. If you feel like you need additional support, we strongly encourage you to seek that out today. Heads Up Guidance Services, or HUGS, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to removing all barriers to quality professional counseling services. At HUGS, all motivated individuals, couples, and families can access the support they need and deserve in an outpatient setting. They recruit dedicated, compassionate, and socially conscious professionals who volunteer their time and specialized skill pro bono. HUGS doesn't work with third-party payers, insurance companies, or government dollars. Rather, they operate entirely with the support of people just like you. To help support HUGS, visit www.headsupsavannah.org. Hello. Hey there. Yeah, you. The one who's been consuming, absorbing, enjoying, and implementing our weekly content like a ravenous animal and can't wait to get more. We want to give you more of what you crave. So become a supporting member of the show and ensure that the content you hunger for is served fresh weekly. I know. It's free content and we love offering it, but it's not free to create. Only to consume. So please consider our monthly membership offered through Patreon. Monthly membership includes access to useful life-enhancing PDFs with higher level offerings in the works to include chats with Andrea, customized playlists, and more. Scroll down to our show notes and visit our website at www.lightninginabottle.biz/podcast. Visit us today and support the show.